This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
You know, when I was a kid, I'm certain I didn't know what the word hark meant. I probably could have come up with some maybe even more interesting answers than what we saw here. But I was just confused. It's a song that we sang all the time. I grew up, you know, it's a part of the holiday season is singing these songs, and the sounds of the words and the melody of the music, they are a vital part of our experience at Christmas time, right? And so growing up, I mean, I was really confused because I thought I knew the words, and I certainly could recognize the melody, and I was convinced that Hark the Herald Angels Sing was about my next-door neighbor, Harold. And it was really confusing because I didn't realize Harold was an angel till we started singing this song. And I had never really heard him speak hardly at all. He was a quiet guy. He was a wonderful neighbor, but just really quiet. And so as a kid, I remember just like waiting for Harold, the angel next door, to start singing. And he never did. But it's funny. We listen to these songs, don't we? And we sing these songs. We belt them out. We'll hear them at King Supers. You might even hear a rendition of this at Starbucks. This will be attempted by school choirs and bands and orchestras across the country between now and probably about December 17th. You know, so I mean, we're going to hear these songs, and they're an important part of our holiday experience. But do we really understand what we're singing all the time? Do we really pay attention and dive deep into what it is that we declare by belting out, some of us better than others, and I'm in the other category. I am not a great singer. But you know, to hark, Addie was right, to hark is to pay attention to something. It's to remember. It's to call attention to or give heed to. And this particular hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it is inviting us to do more than just recall facts. Remembering is not just about recalling facts, at least not in the Bible. No, Hark the Herald Angels Sing with its refrain and the deep theology and the incredible scripture that is behind these words. It calls us to a biblical concept of remembering. And the biblical concept of remembering, it's deep. It's really deep. We could do a great study just trying to understand what God meant every time he told his people to remember something, couldn't we? But the biblical concept of remembering, it means it is to receive God's truth such that it defines your identity and your actions. When God called his people to remember his covenant, he wasn't just like hoping that they could like recite a memorized contract, right? No. He was calling them to remember the truth of his very character and to let that shape their identity as a people and inform their actions as they went into this world. The biblical concept of remembering is so deep. And Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a hymn that when you look at the depth of the theology and you see God's word all over this song, you can't help but be drawn into this biblical concept of remembering. And so this Christmas, I hope that we as LifePoint Church, as God's people who gather here every week, I hope that we can do more than just remember a baby this Christmas. It's good to remember the baby Christmas, the baby Jesus at Christmas, but I hope we can truly hark. I hope we can truly receive the truth of God such that it defines our identity and shapes our actions. This is what we're after this Christmas. Let's don't just remember, let's hark together. You know, the Bible provides a rhythm for this. This is not new. In fact, even before sin entered the world and before this world was broken by its effects, God set up a rhythm, a weekly rhythm of Sabbath rest that was meant to help his people remember his truth, who he is and what he had done and the goodness of creation. It really is incredible to see this rhythm that God was shaping into the life of his creation from the very beginning, even before it was stained with sin. But we also see later on God, when he was shaping the culture of the nation of Israel, his chosen people, the people who were to prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah. When he was shaping their culture, he instituted a number of festivals and observances. Some of them were annual, some of them were even generational, and gave them opportunities to remember the deep truths that needed to shape their identity and needed to shape how they behaved in this world. We even see Jesus, as Craig alluded to this morning already, he gave us the sacrament of communion that we could remember his physical incarnation and his physical suffering that was on our behalf. Even with all of these things that God has provided, opportunities for us to remember, we resist harking, don't we? I think if we're honest, we do resist remembering the deep things of God. I know that there are times that I look at some of these things and I consider them to be basic and maybe elementary elements of my faith, and I'd like to think I've matured past that. I've moved on to the deep stuff, right? And we forget to remember. We don't hark. And if we look back, we can even see the Israelites had a pattern of this. The Israelites failed to observe all of these festivals and observances, and they did some of them. They did some of them. But especially the generational festivals, the ones that didn't happen every single year, there's not a lot of record of them actually following through and remembering the things that God wanted them to remember. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody today who actually truly observes the Sabbath, right? We're too busy for that. We have adopted this obsession with everything that is new, that leaves our hearts moving on, moving forward, instead of truly remembering the vital truths of God and allowing them to drop into the deepest places of our soul enough that it can define who we are. At Christmas time, we tend to invest our best efforts, our money, our time, our anxiety, and our worry. We tend to invest in the trappings of the season. And then we try to fit Jesus in amongst all of the parties. This is why we need carols like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This is why we need the rich depth of this hymn. And so I'm excited for us as a church to explore all that Charles Wesley put into this hymn. Did you know that this was actually written? He called it, when he wrote this, a Christmas Day hymn. Some things must never change. He thought that we needed a reminder on Christmas Day of not just the baby Jesus, but the breadth and depth of all that the incarnation signifies. He thought we needed that reminder all the way back in 1739 when this was first penned. That was nearly 40 years before the United States observed independence. The lyrics were later updated by George Whitefield in 1758. He was a friend of Charles Wesley, and that sort of brought the familiar words that we're used to singing, that I, as a kid, had no idea what they meant. And then later on, this is interesting, the refrain that's at the end of each verse of this hymn wasn't added until 1961, an Oxford publication of Christmas hymns added that refrain after each verse. And I'm glad they did. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It is rich with deep theology, isn't it? It's a carol that helps us hark, remember to the vital core of our faith. It provides a great bridge to a culture that loves Christmas. Doesn't our world love Christmas? I mean, you see it all around. If you've been paying attention, you've seen it in Hobby Lobby since like July. Our world loves Christmas, but it's quickly forgetting the foundations, isn't it? At an alarming rate, secular society is thoroughly, intentionally, and even, as Tim Keller observes, studiously replacing the coming of Christ with so many good but lesser things. Things like cheer and goodwill. Those are good things. Things like peace on earth, like the kind of peace that, you know, we all just sort of get along, not the kind of peace with God vertically that is the overflow of reconciliation with God. Our world emphasizes time with family this time of year, which is great. We emphasize gift giving and gift receiving, also good. Increased thought and care for the poor, very, very good. All of these things are good, yet what do they lack? They lack the power to save. They lack Jesus. As Christians, we can rightly embrace a time that our culture observes and has a heightened understanding of and awareness of all of these good things. We can embrace all of that, but we need to look for the opportunities that God has provided, the bridges with this culture, so that we can hark and we can help God's people. Even those who have yet to believe in him yet, that he loves desperately, we need to help God's people know and understand the beauty and the depth of Emmanuel. God is with us. The Christ who came in bodily form. This is the deep joy and reality of Christmas. This Advent, we're going to be exploring some of the deep questions that Charles Wesley was wrestling with when he wrote Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We see answers to these questions in this song, and I'm excited because I believe that we will be transformed as the incarnation of Christ falls to the deep places of our soul so that our identities and our actions will be defined by God's truth. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I ask that you would fill our hearts with the joy and the love that are the overflow of understanding what an amazing thing we have to celebrate at Christmas. Lord, help us to see your Son, Jesus, clearly as we dive into your word and this season. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I would love to have seen the Bible, the Bible that Charles Wesley studied as he was writing this song. This week, we're going to look at how Hark the Herald Angels Sing beautifully answers the question, who is Jesus? We're going to look at that, and we see a lot of this comes from our reading today from Luke chapter 1. And I also want to encourage you to pull out, this card is in your bulletin, excuse me. This card is in your bulletin. On one side, there's all the times that we'll be worshiping during Advent and on Christmas Eve. And on the back side are the words to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hang on to this. We're going to be looking at this, and I'm going to send you home with some homework to do with this. But you can pull this out, too, and lay this next to your scripture with you. As you look at this hymn, we see in verse 1, glory to the newborn king. And we're looking to understand who is Jesus. And we see that Jesus is the king, isn't he? Glory to the newborn king. Who is Jesus? He is the king. We see in verse 2, Christ by highest heaven adored. Jesus is the most valued of heaven. There is nothing in heaven more highly prized or valued than Jesus. And then verse 2 continues on, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleases man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a fancy word that means God is with us, dwelling among us. And we see here that Jesus is the human form of God's fullness. The human form of God's fullness. It's hard to understand just the depth, the depth and the beauty of the fullness of God veiled in flesh. We also see verse 2, Christ the everlasting Lord. He is the authority that never ends. He is everlasting. And then verse 3, hail the Son of righteousness. He's the source of life-giving righteousness. And we see a lot of this theology comes straight out of the pages of Scripture and when Mary first encountered the angel Gabriel. As Gabriel declared to her that you have found favor with God in chapter 1, verse 30. Verse 32, your son, Jesus, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He'll be the most valued thing in heaven. He's the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will be the king. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. His authority, it will never end. We see he will be called holy, the Son of God. He is veiled in flesh, the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead veiled in flesh for us to see. It really is incredible. You know, that line from verse 3, hail the Son of righteousness. There is some debate out there whether Charles Wesley first intended that to read son, S-O-N, or son, S-U-N. And there are some out there who believe that line is actually a reference to Revelation 21, 23, which describes the new heaven and the new earth. It describes the holy city and that there is no need for a celestial ball of fire in the sky to give light and heat and life to the new heaven and the new earth because Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, will be the lamp that we will see, that will be the source of all our light and life. And that makes sense when you look at the next line in the song. Light and life to all he brings. So we see so much scripture behind these words. They unfold the way God came into a world that did not know him and came into that world in the form that they would have the best opportunity to truly know him. He came to a world that didn't know him. Even the Jews, they didn't fully understand God yet. And he made himself known as humanly as possible by becoming a human. It's amazing. It really is incredible when we look at who is Jesus. He is a king. He's the most valued of all of heaven. He's the authority that never ends. He's the human form of God's fullness, the source of life-giving righteousness. And you know what? Even the first Christians struggled to remember that sometimes. Even the first Christians needed to remind themselves that this actually happened. It's so wonderful that it's almost hard to believe, isn't it? Something I love about studying a hymn like Hark the Herald Angels Sing is it opens our eyes to how many different incarnation scriptures there are. 1 John chapter 1, we see John, he's writing to some early Christians and you see him reminding him and the recipients of his letter that this actually happened. Listen to his words. He says, that which was from the beginning, Jesus who pre-existed all of creation, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands. This is a first person account, a first person recollection. It's like he's saying, hey, this actually happened. I sat next to this guy around the campfire. I tasted the bread that he multiplied amongst the 5,000. This actually happened. Concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest, was made real to us. That's in 1 John, the beginning of 1 John chapter 1. It's comforting to me to see that even the first Christians needed a reminder, didn't they? So this is who Jesus is, and you may be so far tracking with me saying, I kind of already knew that, Wes. We could read this hymn, and you know, why is this so important that we remember who Jesus is? The reason we find is in Romans 8:11. It'll be on the screen behind me. You can turn there with me. Romans 8, chapter 11, Paul says this. He says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of God. All of these things, the King, the most valued of heaven, the authority that never ends, the human form of God's fullness, his spirit, the source of life-giving righteousness, dwells within us when we receive Jesus. When we follow him, when we put our faith and trust in him. This is why it's important for us to remember who Jesus is, because the Jesus who came at the first Christmas, veiled in flesh, as this hymn so beautifully and eloquently puts it, he is today veiled in our flesh. You know, the baby Jesus isn't actually in that manger over there. Is there a manger over there with the shepherds? There's not a manger over there. The baby Jesus isn't actually in any of the mangers that you will see, the nativity scenes. The incarnation of God today is happening, and it's happening in you and in me. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not veiled, it's not hidden behind the flesh of that precious baby. No, the Holy Spirit of God is hidden in you, is buried in you. And you know what? God is wanting to send his presence to the deepest places of our souls, that we would hark, that we would remember his goodness, his faithfulness, that we would be transformed, that our very identity would no longer be associated with who we are on this earth, but with who God has made us to be and who Jesus has enabled us to be through his death on the cross. The incarnation today is happening, and it's happening in you and me. The Holy Spirit of God, when he dwells in us, he's veiled within our flesh. And this forces us to ask three important questions. The first is this: who is Jesus in my life? We've seen who Charles Wesley says Jesus is in this hymn. But who is Jesus in your life? Is he your everlasting Lord? Does his authority have a timeline that never ends? Or is he the Lord of your life like he's the Lord of mine? Sometimes, when it's convenient, when I feel like it. Who is Jesus in your life? This Jesus who is the King, has a kingdom that will never end. This Jesus who has this authority that never ends, who's the most valued of heaven, he's the human form of God's fullness. This is the Word made flesh that John speaks of in John chapter 1, verse 14. This is him by whom all creation came into being. Nothing that was created came to being without first being called into existence by the Word made flesh, by Jesus. He holds together all of creation, the subatomic particles of that pew that's right in front of you, the mystery of how those particles are held together, all the way to the vastness of the galaxies in which we are just a speck. He holds all of that together. And so I ask you today, who is Jesus in my life and in your life? Is he everlasting Lord? Or do we look at his resume and say, you'll do for a consultant? I'd love to have you help me make some of the tough decisions I face, but that's about it. Who is Jesus in your life today? Who is Jesus in my life? The second question that if we truly understand God's work, that the way he has come to this world today is through his presence in you and in me. Second question I want us to ask is, who am I actually worshiping? Who am I actually worshiping? You see, if we don't remember who Jesus is, we will slowly redefine him and reshape him to look like someone who is strikingly similar to you and me. We'll do what our culture is doing with Christmas, and we'll keep the trappings, the things that we like, the things that are comfortable, that which feels good. These are all good things. But if we don't hark back to who God is, the very nature and character of God, and let that sink deep into our souls to define us, if we don't remember that Jesus is today veiled in our flesh through his Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, we will end up worshiping something else. We'll end up worshiping a false idol instead of the everlasting God. So who do we worship at Christmas time? And the last question is, what do I hide in my flesh? It really is amazing. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. What an incredible line. God took all of his fullness and his goodness and his beauty and his presence, and he took all of that and he poured that, he hid that in the flesh of this little infant. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. I could just turn that line over and over in my mind, but if I never then take the step to ask God, God, what is it that I hide in my flesh? What are the places of my mind and my heart that I have held back, and I've not allowed your light, the light of the hope of Christ that we celebrate this morning, the light that has come into the darkness? What are the places that I'm trying to keep dark? What do I hide in my flesh from you? Is it my pride? Is it lust? Is it gluttony? Is it greed? You know, what is it that we hide in our flesh? If we aren't asking this question, then we'll miss some of the most powerful ways that Jesus has come into our world today, because he wants to go to the dark places of my soul and yours, and he wants to bring the light of his freedom. And it's amazing. Jesus wants in to the places that we hide in our flesh. And we need to remember, as we consider what we've hidden in our flesh, that Jesus has come in this way. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, but that's not the end of the story, is it? You know, we remember the baby Jesus being born 2,000 years ago. We also need to anticipate and remember and look forward to his coming again, don't we? Because he's not just come as a baby. He's not just come by sending his Holy Spirit into our hearts. He is coming again. And as we remember that, we should find urgency to allow the light of Christ into every place that we've hidden within our flesh, within our minds, and our hearts. So how do we do this? How do we remember that Jesus is today veiled in our flesh? We can ask those questions, but I want to invite you to consider with me Colossians chapter 3 as we close. You can turn there if you want. Colossians chapter 3, this is like a manual for how to hark. If harking is important to us this Christmas season, if we want to remember the deep things of God, this is like a manual, this whole chapter. We're not going to look at the whole chapter. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above." How do we do that? It's a great chapter, but if you skip down to verse 16, it says this. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now, notice something. What happens when we let the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwell in us richly? It doesn't stay there, does it? It comes out in teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. It comes out in singing hymns and spiritual songs, and it comes out in thankfulness to God. Remember, Jesus is the Word made flesh, and so I want to encourage us that the fastest way for something to find a home in our heart, to land in our heart, is through our mouths. So this Advent season, don't leave Jesus in the manger. Open your mouth. Let's let the Godhead veiled in our flesh, the Holy Spirit, do his work by filling our flesh with the Word of God, dwelling richly in us. And so I want to ask you to do three things. First thing, speak of Jesus this Christmas. Don't just speak about how excited we are about all of the great things that come with Christmas time. Speak of Jesus. And if that to you feels about as intimidating as Mary felt when the angel came to her and said, hey, you're going to have a baby, then start with your family. Start with the people that expect you to speak of Jesus. Don't assume that your wife or your kids or your grandkids or your parents or your aunts and uncles, don't assume that your roommates all know what you're celebrating this Christmas. Let's put words to Jesus. Let's speak of Jesus this Christmas. Let's declare his word out loud together. Open your Bible when you gather with the people that matter to you. Read not just the stories of Christmas time and the manger, but read other scriptures as well. Look for the places in scripture where God talks about his incarnation, his coming, and dwelling with us on earth. Read the scriptures out loud together. I want you to know, coming in 2018, we're super excited. The leadership of this church, we have this dream of what would it look like if a whole church full of people every single day spent time in the Word and in prayer together. What would that look like if all of us had our hearts pointed to God in prayer and our eyeballs on his Word every single day? I want to ask you to be praying about that. You'll hear more about this coming up. This is a church-wide movement we're going to start in 2018. I don't want it to surprise you. I want it to be something that encourages you, that gets you excited. Declare his word out loud together this Christmas. Let the word of God dwell richly within you. And finally, look what this is uncomfortable for me, but Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says that when the Word of God dwells in us richly, that what happens is we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. I'm not a singer, but I want to invite you to do something that may feel kind of awkward around your tables. Let's sing this Christmas time, like our life groups and our families. Like, actually go do this. You have the words to Hark the Herald Angels Sing on a card right here in your Bible. Men, if you're like me, you don't feel comfortable leading anybody in singing because you probably don't have a great voice. And the few of you that do, you already are leading us in singing. But I want to invite you, especially, I want to challenge the men, lead the people that matter most to you in singing of Jesus this holiday season. Start with this. Sing this song around your table today. Let's open our mouths and declare Jesus this season. Let the Word of God dwell richly in us. Acknowledge that Jesus is today veiled in our flesh. You know, right now we have a chance to do what the believers talked about in 1 John, in that verse that I read. We have a chance as we remember communion today to hold in our hands the bread and the cup that Jesus said represent his life and his death. And so I want to invite the worship team to come up now. We're going to close with a time of communion today. this is an opportunity for us to allow the truth and the beauty of what God did at the very first Christmas to be real in our hands today. This is an opportunity for us to remember not just the baby Jesus, but to remember the fullness of who God is and why he came. To remember that he came not just to be born a baby, but he came to go to the cross on our behalf. Let us remember Jesus this Christmas.
This has been a presentation of Life Point Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.